Sharing cars through ride-hailing was supposed to cut congestion. But guess what? It hasn't. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jack Stewart in for Molly Wood. There's a saying, you're never in traffic, you are traffic. The early vision of companies like Uber and Lyft was that they would help pull drivers away from using their own individual cars. But in today's reminder of the power of unintended consequences, recent studies show that ride-sharing made traffic worse in San Francisco. Now, to be fair, there are other factors. The city's been booming recently, there are more people, and of course more online shopping and food deliveries. Wired transportation writer Ariane Marshall says one of the main issues, though, is that people aren't using ride-sharing the way that everybody thought they would.
Uber and Lyft both would love people to use their sharing products, and that's when you hitch a ride with someone else and save money that way. But there are a lot of people who are using these as just straight-up taxis, and that means you're not getting those savings by actually pulling cars off the road. You're actually putting more cars on the road because you have the driver in the car who's racing around trying to get different people everywhere.
Is there much evidence that they're pulling people from public transit? Are these new journeys that people wouldn't have done, or are these journeys that people would have done using some other means of transportation?
So that's a great question, and it's something researchers are desperate to find out, and they've had mixed success so far. There has been a decrease in public transit ridership in the time that Uber and Lyft have been very popular in most big cities, but that could be accountable for other things. So we have recovered from a recession in that time, which means people might have a little more money to take their own cars and not public transit. There was actually a study by these same University of Kentucky researchers who did the San Francisco study. It's not peer-reviewed yet, so take it perhaps with a little bit of a grain of salt, but it found that when Uber and Lyft enter a city, that's associated with a 12.7% decrease in bus ridership. Now, again, there could be other reasons why that's happening. And Uber and Lyft will also tell you that their most popular times when people love taking ride hail is actually at night and on the weekends, which is not necessarily the really popular time to take public transit. Some people might be taking new trips because of Uber and Lyft and not necessarily skipping out on the bus because of it. So it's complicated, and it's probably also a little different in every city.
So what can cities do about this? Is there a good model for how to integrate these types of services and not make congestion worse?
Well, one thing that Uber and Lyft say they're trying hard to do, and we've seen some evidence that perhaps this is the case, is that they're actually building transit into their apps. So you can, if you live in a city like Santa Monica in California, or if you live in Denver, you can open your Lyft app and it will tell you how to take the train instead of a car. And then these companies are also investing really heavily in bikes and scooters because bikes and scooters are a great way to get around traffic. You don't have to sit in traffic when you're on a bike. You get to weave around traffic.
And cities like New York are taking even stronger measures to try and control the numbers of cars.
Yeah, New York is a really interesting situation because most cities don't have regulatory authority over companies like Uber and Lyft, but New York does. And that means that it does have access to that data. So it knows exactly how these companies are operating on their streets, and they are putting it to use. Just last week, New York put out an announcement. It is going to, about a year ago, it froze the number of vehicle licenses it issued for new Uber and Lyft drivers. Uber and Lyft said this was going to be terrible for business, but New York is going to keep with that freeze. It's not going to have any more Uber and Lyft vehicles coming onto the streets for the foreseeable future. It also suggested it wants to create some sort of new rule, which we'll probably see in the next few days, that reduces the amount of times that drivers are driving around looking for a fare. They're going to say to Uber and Lyft, you guys have to be much, much better about making sure that these trips happen quickly and that your drivers aren't just creating this crazy congestion while they wander around racing to the next fare.
If we really throw this forwards, last week Uber talked about its plans at its Elevate Summit to put flying taxis into the air to try and alleviate the congestion problem by lifting people up and over it. Is there a chance they're just, you know, going to fall into this same quagmire with a scheme like that?
Oh, man, that's interesting. It'd be such a pain if there were traffic on the ground and then traffic in the air and you just can't escape anywhere. Uber's plans are really interesting. They've released some very cool looking renderings. They have people hard at work on actually building flying taxis. But I'd say that there are so many regulations that they have to go through before flying taxis are a real thing. So I'd say don't start looking for flying taxis in your Uber app yet.
It's not going to fix this problem for us.
Yeah.
In the near future.
Correct.
Ariane Marshall covers transportation for Wired. Now, this probably isn't much consolation, but congestion is a sign that a city's economy is thriving. And now for some related links. In a bit of horrible timing, Uber revealed its plans to start its air service using existing helicopters, offering a trip to JFK Airport in New York while it waits for aircraft companies to construct and certify the electric people-sized drones that they are developing. And then just 5 days later, a helicopter crashed onto the roof of a building in Manhattan, killing the pilot. Now, a Fast Company analysis gives some detail here, saying, let's learn a few lessons from this and not impose knee-jerk bans on flying over cities. As Ariane said, you do have to wonder, though, if the introduction of an affordable air taxi service will really help cut congestion on the ground or just give new meaning to the phrase air traffic. If there's one thing that we really have learned about creating extra transport capacity, it's that it rarely eases congestion. There's this tricky little thing called induced demand. New lanes on freeways make freeway trips easier and faster. That encourages more people to drive, which clogs up the freeways. Phys.org has a good explainer on the phenomenon and a look at what congestion-cutting mechanisms do work elsewhere in the world. All these unintended transportation consequences, you know, they just remind me of a quote from the naturalist and environmental philosopher John Muir. He's the man called the father of the national parks. And I found the exact wording from the Sierra Club. When we try to pick out anything by itself, we find it hitched to everything else in the universe. I'm Jack Stewart, and that's today's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Marketplace turns 30 this year, and to celebrate, we're going back to the 80s. Check out our totally radical new thank you gifts that you can choose from when you become a Marketplace investor. Your donation, large or small, will help us keep bringing you news and information you trust for years to come. Donate today at marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.